Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Amen. Dear joy-filled worshipers of the Christ child, take a moment and think about the characters we find in the Christmas story. Why is each of them there? Obviously, the central figure is the baby, Jesus, and it would be impossible for him to be there without Mary, his mother. Joseph, though not Jesus' father by blood, is Mary's husband and the baby's father in every legal sense, so it's natural for him to be present, too. Contrary to many songs, programs, and plays, there are no oxen or donkeys mentioned in the biblical account, nor is there an innkeeper. Angels, well, they weren't necessary for Christ's birth to happen, but when we consider how momentous an occasion it was, it makes sense that we would see them there, too. But what about the shepherds? Why include them? They would not have been present for the birth, and probably would have kept their distance from a stranger in labor in any case. In Jewish society at the time, shepherds were quite low on the social ladder. They did most of their work away from other people. Life in the open country meant that they were often, shall we say, less than hygienic in their persons. And while the job was clearly not for everyone, it didn't exactly have a reputation as a skilled profession or one that raised a shepherd intellectually above others. So, that being the case, why wouldn't God send his angels with this great good news, this wonderful announcement, to the local priests or Levites, or to the head man in town, or maybe to an influential merchant instead of these humble men out in the fields? Well, how the angel refers to Bethlehem might give us a clue. He called it the town of David. David was Israel's greatest king, the one who brought peace by conquering their enemies in the Lord's strength, the one who expanded their borders, and the one who ushered in an era of prosperity for the nation. But before all that, David lived in Bethlehem, and he was a shepherd. He probably pastured his father's flocks in the same fields that the shepherds in the Christmas story used. So shepherding had an important place in the history of God's people. But it also had an important place in the worship and teaching of their faith. Because the imagery of shepherd and sheep was common in the Psalms and throughout the writings of the prophets. Sometimes referring to the relationship between the Lord and his people, sometimes to the relationship between Israel's leaders and their people. But since we have the benefit of the entire New Testament, we also know that God honored the profession of shepherd even more. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd, and referred to those who followed him as his sheep, whom he loves. And incidentally, the same prophecy in Micah 5 that foretold Christ's birth in Bethlehem also prophesied that he would stand and shepherd with the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. So given all that, it is not surprising at all that God would go out of his way to include these shepherds in the fields outside Bethlehem in the Christmas story. It was part of the plan Because the Lord wants us thinking about His shepherding, even right here at the beginning of Christ's story. Now, you don't have to know a lot about tending sheep to understand that it is a very hands-on type of vocation. You will not see a shepherd getting out of bed in the morning, driving to work, getting a coffee, sitting down at a desk, and phoning in his instructions to the sheep from a distance. No, he will be in the fields with his sheep on good days and bad, in sunshine and in rain, through grass and muck and over rocks and hills. Where they go, he goes. What they go through, he goes through. And that's what our readings earlier from Hebrews and John tell us Jesus did as our good shepherd. Only he took it beyond, far beyond anything any regular shepherd ever could do. In this case, the Son of God himself left his comfortable home in heaven and all of its glories there and took on human flesh and became one of us to go through what we go through as our brother. In other words, the shepherd became one of the sheep. There is no greater nor more wonderful mystery and miracle than this, that the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, that the Father in heaven brought His Son, through whom He made the universe, His appointed heir of all things, the radiance of His glory and the exact imprint of the divine nature, who sustains all things by His powerful world, that the Father brought Him into the world as His firstborn and as a man like us to be our brother. The shepherd became one of the sheep. Why? So that as the Lamb of God, He could provide purification for sins, so that He might be the light of mankind that shines in the darkness and leads us home to heaven. That tiny baby boy we see in the hay of Bethlehem's manger grew up to fulfill the mission His Father gave Him. To take your sins and my sins and the sins of all the world onto and into Himself and with His body and blood and life pay the price of our rebellion and disobedience. He suffered and died on Calvary's cross and in doing so satisfied all of God's righteous wrath against sin, leaving nothing for us to do for our own salvation, and nothing left to fear from Satan's accusations or death's approach. His resurrection from the dead sealed it all, proclaiming without question His victory over the grave, and when He reascended to heaven, He took His seat at the right hand of the Most High. But none of what He did for us would have been possible if He had not first humbled Himself to become one of us. It is not just a great and mighty wonder that God became man, a tiny, helpless baby, but it is also a great and mighty wonder that He bothered to do so. He had no obligation to care, but the Lord wants no one to perish in hell. It was His will to save us. He loved us, so He sent His Son. The shepherd cared so deeply for His sheep that He became one and sacrificed Himself for their sins. That's not all that he did or does, though. Imagine another kind of shepherd. A shepherd who finds a valley full of lush green grass, clear running water, plenty of shade trees and natural rock features to help protect against predators, and who then decides that he has found the perfect place, his own wonderful spot for rest and relaxation. And so he keeps it a secret, all to himself, and makes sure that his flock never comes there. That would be a bad shepherd. Jesus does the opposite. He does what we would expect of a good shepherd. What he has that is good, everything that he has that is good, he shares with his sheep. The familiar and favorite Psalm 23 gives us a beautiful picture of this sharing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, we don't usually associate that psalm with Christmas. But maybe we should. Everything that God gives with the gift of His Son is present there. Peace, the end of fear, joy, goodness, abundant life, guidance, restoration, eternal life. Jesus was born to be our and all the world's Savior. And when we have put our trust in Him, we are delivered from our sins, all the guilt and all the power that they once had over us. We are given victory over death and every other enemy that we used to fear. And paradise is promised to us, a place to be forever with Jesus, in perfect bliss and joy in His presence. The blessings of eternal life and all the good that the Son enjoys with His Father, He wants to share with us. His sheep, God's own children, His brothers and sisters. That is why Jesus was born, and why He lived and suffered and died and rose again. All of it to bring us to His perfect pasture. But there is something extra amazing about that good pasture, just as there is something amazing about the one who leads us there. In this pasture, there is always room for more. And in fact, it's better the more sheep are there. And so he spreads the news. This is where we especially see why he involved the shepherds in his Christmas story. Because the good news of great joy that the angels announced to them in the fields was for all people. And when they had heard it and then seen this thing that had happened, which the Lord had made known to them, they told others the message they had been told about this child. The shepherds shared the gospel, and all who heard it were amazed. And that is what God's shepherds still do today. It is no mistake or coincidence that the word pastor means shepherd, but this sheep telling is not limited to the professionals. Everyone who believes what the Bible tells us about Jesus, our Savior, is a witness to Him. And having been blessed as we are blessed, we are also eager to share our blessings by sharing the message. As Isaiah said, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of a herald who proclaims peace and preaches good news, who proclaims salvation." The shepherds were such heralds, and you too can have such beautiful feet at Christmas and throughout the year. It's important. Jesus, our good shepherd, shared our humanity, becoming a sheep to save us, and shared with us the glories and wonders of His heavenly kingdom. But who would ever know that without someone first sharing the news of it? As the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 10, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." So share the good news. That is what the shepherds did then, and what shepherds today, and the good shepherd's sheep today still do. It is the greatest good news there is, but it has to be heard to be believed. So go. Go and tell it on the mountain. Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds share. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, in connection with His blood, which established the eternal testament, may He equip you with every good thing to do His will, as He works in us what is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen.